think you're okay with you okay with punching. You know, I think and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But, like, it's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him, like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
That's what Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett has to say about how to, you know, handle the likes of Senator Ted Cruz. We see a lot of this rhetoric. I saw yesterday, I was watching Jesse Waters, and he put up a slate on his show. According to Network Contagion Research Institute, survey of 1,200 United States adults, 55% of liberals say yes, you can justify murdering Trump. That is hard to fit in the brain. I don't quite understand it. But then you hear people in Congress, like Congresswoman Crockett there, advocating for violence is the only way that you can actually respond to these people. And it just makes you scratch your head. Let's talk to our friend Roy Murdoch about it. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and of course, a Fox News contributor as well. Roy, thank you for the time today. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you again.
You know, when you hear Jasmine Crockett, we played a clip yesterday on the show as well. You probably heard it where she said, you know, she has to go around the country and tell people that we need immigrants, remind people of what immigrants do, and remind people we're a nation of immigrants. And then she says that they're not picking cotton anymore. I mean, what is with the rhetoric coming out of the left? We tried to talk about it on the air, and I couldn't even talk about it without feeling dirty about what she said.
No doubt. Well, first of all, this is the typical word game these guys play. The left will say, why are you against immigrants? No, we're not against immigrants. This is a nation of immigrants. Immigrants have made this country prosperous, wonderful, beautiful, exceptional. My mother and father, immigrants. I'm sure immigrants from your family came back whenever came to this country from somewhere else at some point. It's about illegal immigration. It's about people who come to this country without passports, without visas, without permission. That is the objection that people on the right, a lot of people in the middle as well, have about illegal immigration, and yet the left says, "Oh, you're against all immigrants." It's a typical sort of squid ink that they squirt out as they disappear into, you know, a cloud of their own deception, and never let them get away with that. It's about illegal immigration. That's the first part. As for the other things, the recording you played there, this is the typical thing we've been seeing from the left, certainly since Donald J. Trump was first elected, and I think even more so now that he's been reelected, and that is violent rhetoric, rhetoric involving beating people up, going beyond rhetoric into actual violence against Tesla facilities. Attacking Tesla owners, writing, you know, swastikas and putting, putting in swastikas and writing Nazi, et cetera, on people's cars. And now, as you say, there's this study from the Network Contagion Research Institute, along with Rutgers University. And as you say, they're finding that among people on the left, 55.2% say that it's justifiable to assassinate Donald J. Trump. And among the same people left of center, 48.6% think it's justified to assassinate Elon Musk. So these are well beyond, you know, this is not your father's or grandfather's tax and spend Democrat Party. These people have lapsed into something deeply evil, deeply horrific. And I think the Democrat Party has become a clear and present danger to the United States of America.
Dory Murdoch speaking with us right now. You know, Dory, I'm old enough, and I think you are too, to remember the impeachment of Donald Trump over January 6th, where we watched Democrats over and over and over again play rhetoric from the Republican side, from the Trump side, about, you know, what they were going to do. They never played the fight peacefully and protest peacefully and patriotically. That part always got left out.
They never played that.
But in the response, the defense of Trump, I remember, because we were airing this at the time and it was happening to our show, that they played like an 18-minute clip of Democrats, one after the other, talking in incredibly, you know, Maxine Waters level violent rhetoric, telling people to get up in people's faces in public. They're playing the extremes of this issue, getting, you know, real pearl clutchy about language to the point that they actually impeached a president over it. And at the same time, masterclass in how to speak very violently and aggressively. Do you think that politically, with the American voter base, are they getting away with it? Is it doing the trick?
I don't think so, because people know, as you say, that they attack Trump saying, oh, my God, he said, or January 6th, he said, you know, you should go up and fight. He said, as you say, peacefully, patriotically. But, oh, he's worth fight, so therefore he wanted to, you know, kill people on Capitol Hill. And the defense team, as you said, put together this long video where you had one Democrat after another, from members of Congress to senators, governors, Hillary Clinton, and all the way up to Joe Biden, using the word fight over and over. I think I counted, I did a piece about this, I think it was like 108 different times where they use the word fight. We use the word fight in politics all the time. I mean, that's just, that goes back hundreds of years, probably. And yet their argument was, oh, Trump said fight, so he meant to go up and murder people. I'm telling his supporters to go kill people. No such thing. That's nonsense. So, the Democrats use the word fight all the time. That's on video. It's amazing to watch. And even beyond that, they now talk about things like, you know, get in people's faces, stand up to them directly. I remember during the George Floyd riots, while the flames were still going on, Maura Healey, who was then the Massachusetts Attorney General, she's now governor of Massachusetts, said something like, I think the comment was something like, America is on fire, but this is how forests grow, or worse to that effect. this was not like retrospectively months later in retrospect. This was as the riots were unfolding. So rather than say, look, stay calm, protest peacefully, express yourself, don't create any violence, she's justifying it, saying, well, you know, forest fires are the way that forests grow. So, you know, burn, baby, burn. I mean, it's extraordinary. Again, we see this over and over and over again. And the Democrat Party is now the party of political violence. I think it's turning into a death cult. These people celebrate death. They are now celebrating murder. You saw just the other day, this poor young man, Austin Metcalf, in Texas, had, I guess, some sort of a dispute at a high school track meet with a young man named Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony responded to that by taking a knife and sticking it into Mr. Metcalf's heart. He bled to death. He's now dead. 17-year-old dead guy with a twin brother who's now all by himself. Imagine having your identical twin die in your arms. I mean, it's bad enough to lose a son, but somebody who you've known since you were in utero. They've been side by side their entire lives. And people would say, my God, this is terrible. This kid needs to be tried for this. He now has 10 different GoFundMe sites raising money for him. You have people saying, well, you know, he's a black guy and it was probably racial, so Mr. Metcalf got what he deserved. I've got this quote from this woman who said, you're not going to make me believe or feel any kind of sympathy for Austin Metcalf at all. Unbelievable. I mean, just astonishing. So these people, they're getting to the point where they worship death, and God knows they love abortion too. So this is getting very nasty, very ugly. And I'd really love to see the tax and spend Democrats come back and just talk about taxes and spending. They've now moved on to, you know, transmania and now justification of assassination.
Yeah, you know, you bring up the very tragic situation with Austin Metcalf and his death there, and Carmelo Anthony. You know, he said, I'm not the alleged. This is what I've read from multiple reports. He said, I did it. And he wanted to know if he could plead self-defense and so on and so forth. But, you know, there's a life that was lost. It seems as though there's a very rash reaction from Carmelo Anthony to being told that he wasn't supposed to be sitting under a specific tent at this track meet. But it does become, it just takes on this life of its own in the way it's discussed in our American culture right now, because it does become about race. There's a black kid and there's a white kid. Do you have advice for people when they're consuming the story on how to handle and respect this family that's lost their child? Actually, two families probably have lost children, because the Carmelo Anthony is probably going to be in jail for a really long time. What's the healthy way to react to this to try to stop it from happening again?
Well, I mean, people like us should look on this and feel tremendous empathy and sympathy for the families of poor Austin Metcalf, who's killed. Carmelo Anthony didn't have to do this. I don't feel any sympathy for him. In fact, I hope he gets the electric chair, frankly. I hope he gets his 2,000 volts and soon. As for how people handling the situation, it may come out in this trial that Austin Metcalf had said some words to him, or maybe he touched him. I'm not sure what he did. But look, you know, if somebody does that, either you stand back or maybe you throw some words back at him. You know, it wasn't too many years ago somebody touched you, maybe you'd punch him in the mouth. You wouldn't take a knife out, stick in his heart, and make the guy bleed to death and end up in a casket. That Dizzy say seems to be a bit of an overreaction. You know, this guy could have said, best thing to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was in the wrong tent. Let me go find the correct tent. Maybe the tents correspond to individual schools where various athletes are coming to this track meet. Sorry, I was in the wrong tent. I'll go find the tent that belongs to my school. Have a good day. Good luck. I think that's the way to handle this sort of thing. What you don't do is take a knife, bring a knife to a track meet. Why would you bring a knife to a track meet, for God's sake? And then stick it in somebody's heart so he bleeds to death. That is really not a really good way to handle this sort of situation.
And it's impossible to not contemplate, if the races were reversed in this situation, what the country would be, how the country would be reacting right now.
There probably would be riots, and there'd probably be buildings on fire, and there'd be Democrats screaming for hearings on Capitol Hill, and there'd be marches and protests and boycotts and on and on and on. But it was a black guy killing a white guy, so you and I are talking about it, and Fox News brings it up, and apart from that, it's getting no attention.
Man, and definitely prayers for the families. It's just a terrible, terrible thing to witness. DeRoy, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it. Of course, a lot of news on the national scale, the world scale, about tariffs. Do you have any thoughts on Donald Trump's tariff implementation before we let you go?
Well, I just saw a few minutes ago that I guess he's postponed them for 90 days, except for China, and the Dow is now up 2,500 points. It was down like 100 or 200, now it's up 2,500. So, yeah, this is the seesaw or the roller coaster we're riding. I've said all along that what the president should do is cut taxes first. Once the economy is up and running and thriving, then we possibly can afford to do with the tariffs. And what I think he ought to do is even now he has 90 days to do it. He ought to have a big international conference, bring in America's top 100 trading partners and say, look, here's what we want. We want zero tariffs back and forth. You send us what you want. No tariffs. We send what we want into your markets, no tariffs. Everyone in favor, please say aye. And if they agree to it, it will be the most amazing trade deal since probably the Roman Empire or something like this. And Trump will probably justify an extra spot on Mount Rushmore. If they fight this and they say, no, we don't want that, we want tariffs, then great. Now he's totally on the moral high ground. Then he can say, all right, I'm sticking tariffs, reciprocal tariffs on you. And then, you know, we'll negotiate as it may be. But the most important thing for him to do is cut taxes immediately, make them effective at once, if not retroactive to January 20th or even January 1st. Give a real shot in the arm to the economy, which is wobbling right now. And then once people have more money in their pockets and they're not seeing taxes on their tips, their overtime, and their Social Security benefits, corporations are dealing with lower taxes. They know what the tax rates will be next year, so they can plan with some certainty. We'll be in a much better situation to deal with the tariff situation than we are now, which is the economy still reeling from the after effects of Bidenomics. And then slap tariffs on top of that, I think, is just too much. So hopefully he'll take these 90 days to do that and do this in the right order rather than in the reverse order, which he's done so far.
Well, DeRoy, you could come back next hour and everything could change. So.
Yeah, it's a totally different an hour.
We appreciate you, DeRoy. Thanks for being with us again today.
All right, Annie. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. DeRoy Murdoch, our friend on Wednesday afternoons. He's our friend every day of the week, but we get to talk to him on Wednesdays. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor. I'm looking right now at Fox News, and they do have the Dow up right now over 7%. So I'm going to take a quick break so I can check the shares that I bought whenever it was like, woo, down. When we come back, you know, there are so many things going on in the world, but you can always count on the Illinois state legislator to get to the very bottom of the things that matter the most, like mascots in high schools in southern Illinois. That's what the Illinois state legislature is worried about, and they so incredibly virtuously have fought to get rid of the midgets. I think that's actually what they did. That seems pretty disrespectful to the midgets, if you ask me. Well, let's talk to the midget state representative, David Fries, next. Don't go away. Don't wanna be just like you. Or what I'm saying is, this is the— Welcome back to the Annie Fries Show. We are grateful for you to join us this afternoon. We've made the breaking news has been that Donald Trump has come out and said that because China has retaliated against the United States, he is elevating immediately the tariffs imposed on China 125%. And everybody else who came to the table and offered some kind of let's negotiate this, for 90 days, he's put a pause on the tariffs that were implemented and he has it resting at 10%. Did I get that correct? I believe, Ryan?
Yep.
All right. So then the markets were like, Yahoo. And it's up over 7% right now, over 40,000 points. It's not up over 40,000 points, but it's over 40 on the Dow right now. So we're going to continue to watch that. We'll continue to update you on that developing news as it happens. I want to get to our guest right now. We are joined by Illinois State Representative David Freese. Welcome back to the show, Representative. It's good to have you here. I can always count on the state of Illinois to get to the bottom of what matters to the people. And apparently the Democrat supermajority in the General Assembly in Illinois was like, get rid of the midgets. And I thought that was a really weird take for me, honestly.
Yeah. We have a high school, I think, reading proficiency of a little over 30%. Mm. And to correct that problem, we're going to ban the Freeburg mascot, the midgets. It makes perfect sense to me and everybody else in Southern Illinois.
So I think we have a Freeburg midget in the room here with us right now. Brad Range, the producer of the Annie Fry Show, is in fact a very tall Freeburg midget. 5'10"?
I'll go 5'10".
5'10"? What was so important about this particular issue, Representative Freese, that it got the priority of the legislature's time?
Well, they profess that it's demeaning and we're in essence like picking on a group of disabled individuals. Honestly, I don't understand it. Freeburg's close to my neighborhood. I live in Redbud. I know people that go to Freeburg. They're very proud of their mascot. And there's a history to it. There's a heritage to it. But for whatever reason, this maybe it's virtue signaling. The state representative felt compelled that he had to get rid of the mascot.
So naturally, the state representative is, they know the people of Freeburg and they understand the culture. And the state representative that cares about this has got to be right there very close to that district, right?
Yes. Yeah. And this was so one of the rules in the House is if there's an issue that is not in your district, you let that representative handle and address it. You don't cross boundary lines.
That makes sense.
That's Kevin Schmidt's area, and I'm pretty sure. So, but no, but this particular representative is out of Chicago.
Does that make you mad, Ryan?
I'm just past mad. Of course they're out of Chicago. And we're wanting to legislate what we're doing down here.
What about Centralia? They're the orphans. Where does it end? Where does it stop with? Where does it stop with the Illinois State Legislature? You know, let me give you the floor here, Representative Freese. What are the issues? If it were completely up to you, what are the issues that would be consuming the attention of the General Assembly right now? Maybe just prioritized above what kind of high school mascots exist in Freeburg.
Oh, well, maybe taxes for starters, you know, property tax relief. How about that?
Yes.
You know, how about getting rid of some regulations so we're a little more business friendly? You know, everybody knows we're depopulating. Everybody don't want to ask that question. Why are we depopulating? It's because we're hostile to business in this state. So everybody leaves to a more friendly atmosphere. So this is what we find ourselves in.
So, Representative Freese, just define your district here for us a little bit so that the listeners can understand from the 115th, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So my district's all of Monroe, Randolph, and Perry County. I go down to Murfreesboro, which is Jackson County. I got a couple little towns in Washington County. That's my district.
So one of the things that the Democrats are focusing on right now in the legislature is the Homeschool Act. It's been a really big deal. We've talked a lot about it here on the Annie Fry Show. We've had you're the third state representative we've had on the show, one from Quad Cities with Tony McComey, or at least the northwest of the state. We've had Blaine Willauer, who I believe is on the committee for the education conversation that took place. Now we have you. So we've kind of zigzagged across the state, and there's a lot of animosity towards the Homeschool Act. They've tried to amend it. It gets passed through committee with almost 40,000 oppositional witness slips to it that materialize in the matter of less than 24 hours. What is the Homeschool Act at this point in this adventure? What is it? What are they trying to do? And is it going to eventually pass the General Assembly and get signed by J.B. Pritzker?
Yeah, so there's a great question. I don't know. It just actually got through committee this morning. I'm not on the committee, but I was able to listen to the back and forth while I was here in my office. They want to regulate You know, we're and this was a problem with Illinois. We overregulate everything. You know, actually, when this first came up, I reached out to my superintendent and I asked him, what about homeschoolers? And he said, Dave, he said, it's amazing. It is one of the least regulated fields within the state of Illinois. And I asked, well, so what do you think? He said, well, leave them alone. They do a good job, generally speaking. So, but we're going to regulate for 0.1% of you know, a child that may have been abused somewhere along the line. I think that that's been the driving force for, it seems like, the sponsor of this bill. I know homeschoolers, they do a really good job from what I've seen. I actually talked to some teachers, and one of the teachers I talked to said they hated when the homeschoolers, because they still do these competitions. And they go, I hate when the homeschoolers show up because they always kick my students' butt. So I thought that was funny. Yeah, there was some math competition that the kids go to.
Yeah. You were talking about the proficiency of Illinois public school students. It's not good. And, you know, I talk a lot about sending my kids to a Lutheran school. I pay the property taxes where, 80-90% of the property taxes I pay go into the public education system that I do not send my four children into. I pay extra for tuition to send them to a Lutheran school. But I still have an interest, of course, in the educated public and making sure my taxpayer dollars are doing what they're supposed to be investing in, which is a properly educated public. And that's not the case in the state of Illinois. What's the legislature doing about that?
Well, they're not doing much. And so I have a little different take on where we're at, you know, and our proficiency level and what's going on. I honestly think a big part of the problem is we have a group of parents that have checked out. You know, you care about education, so you want to make sure that your kids do well. I do as well. If there's something going on with my kids at school, I want to know. And I don't go to the teacher and say, what did you do to my kid? I actually, first thing and foremost, I talk to my children. I said, what did you do?
Yeah.
I want my kids to take responsibility. And then I take responsibility for my kids and my kids' education. I listen to you all the time. You talk about sports. I got both of my kids are athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But before they participate in athletic programs, they're going to get the schoolwork done. And if they drop below my expectations and my wife's expectations, they're not playing. But we've got parents who have not prioritized properly. They put things above their kids' education. They've checked out. So I think the parents need to be first and foremost active participants in this process.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it is I think we have educators, and this comes from the state legislature as well, is we have gotten away from disciplining kids. And I'm not talking corporal punishment. It's just like there has to be some ramifications, consequences for not doing your homework, not participating. And we've gotten away from that.
Amen.
Representative Freeze, this is Ryan. You're in the Illinois House. You know, obviously, you're around the people who are trying to push these homeschool things through. Are the Democrats at large, or specifically even the people pushing this
bill?
I don't
think you can say at large anymore in the state of Illinois.
Well.
Go on.
yeah, don't fast change.
I'm not trying to conflate the issues.
You sizist.
Here. I'm talking about the homeschool one, not the other one. Okay. So when you're talking to, or do you talk to Democrats, because it sounds like they've been unwilling to listen to even just reasonable objections, and I'm just wondering if you've been able to talk to them and present to them, look, there's a lot of people that I represent who you're affecting who are very against this.
Well, I've talked to other Democrats. I haven't talked to the sponsor. The sponsor is mission oriented, and I think she's closed mind. She's not going to take any constructive criticism of this legislation, but other Democrats, they're opposed to this as well. So I'm, you know, you asked if it's going to pass. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it because there's been some pushback in the committee this morning. They had a black gentleman on. He was a pastor, homeschooler, just gave phenomenal testimony. So I really do think that there are going to be some no votes from the Democrat side on this issue.
We're speaking with Illinois State Representative David Freeze of the 115th District there. Before we let you go, I just think that as a countermeasure on behalf of Southern Illinois, I've never heard of it, but I don't care. Canton, Illinois, their mascots are the Giants, and I think the only thing fair here to do is to take it to the Giants. We could have the Midgets play the Giants, and if the Midgets win, then they get to stay.
I'm with you. I love it.
I want to bring people together.
If the state forces them to change their name, could they just change one letter and be like the Madgets or something, just like, as a protest?
Yeah, it just seems absolutely outrageous to me. And I'd imagine, Representative Freeze, that the people of Freeburg probably don't appreciate very much the Chicagoan coming down and wagging their finger in the face of people who are have been around Freeburg, who continue to put their children through this school, and now they have to walk away in shame because they used a word that the Chicagoans didn't like.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious to see how they actually address this. I think they have the 2029 to keep that mascot. You know, if there's a remodel project within the school, then they're going to have to, you know, get rid of, paint over it, or whatever the case is going to be. So I'm curious to see how they address this, because I know they've been on the, let's say, the firing line on this issue for some time. And they've consistently pushed back. But this particular rep was able to get it through this time. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. Well, thank you for the attention to the issue. We appreciate you, Illinois State Representative David Freeze of Red Bud and the 115th District there. Always good to have you on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
We'll talk to you again soon. If Midgets isn't okay, there's no way the Giants can be okay. That's actually like saying that Giants are better than Midgets.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Am I wrong?
That's sizeism.
They should be the Freeburg normies.
Average-sized people.
ASPs. The ASPs!
The Freeburg ASPs.
Yeah, that won't go wrong at all.
We're the bad ASPs.
Or the good ASPs.
Come on, you can't play the game if you can't play the game.
No, I can't.
Uncle.
Or the... Nah, there's a lot of adjectives you could put in front of that, couldn't you?
I kind of like ASPs. Average-sized people. I think we should take suggestions, and I would also like to fight for the Midgets, although even suggesting that the Midgets would have to be fought for seems as though that's not very nice to say out loud either. Like, maybe they can handle their own business.
I agree. They need to get rid of the Giants. They need to get rid of all names, because words could possibly hurt people.
San Francisco? New
yep,
York?
Gone.
Done.
Yep. They need to ban the song Tiny Dancer.
Why?
Because it's small. Tiny. Yeah. Yeah. The imagery that brings up, who knows where your mind could go.
Yeah, that's not very body positivity.
No, it's not.
Oh, she's got to be tiny.
Right. We're giving away tickets to Little Big Town. We got to ban that.
Little average town. Yeah, this is problematic, Illinois. Look what you've done. I mean, I just thought we were past this crap. I've muddled in my head a poll question, which I haven't even mentioned the poll question today yet. A poll question is like, is woke dead? This is woke.
Mm-hmm. This is it.
If Freeburg decided Midgets is not the greatest thing in the world, we probably should move on from Midgets. If Freeburg decided it, then they should change it. And we should support them. But Chicago coming down and saying, we don't do that anymore. Are there Midgets in Freeburg that are unhappy?
That's a good question. We should have asked David Freeze that.
It's got to get Kevin Schmidt on the show. It's just so...
I know. There's so much material that you're like, where do I even go?
And it's like all offensive, but not... You have to make fun of everybody.
Uh-huh.
Or eliminate everybody. And now we're aggrandizing normal people, which is the worst thing that you can do.
They need to be this free... If they're forced to change, become the Freeburg STFUs.
Stifoos.
Yeah. And then come up with something else that could stand for and be like, but you know. I think it's sizeism when you make fun of me. In fact, everything that you've ever said about me is now banned.
It's 100% sizeism. Yeah. I don't like you because you're short.
That's not even true. The problem is it's a false premise.
You want me to not like you because you're average?
I want you to not like me for all the variety of reasons. I'm very hateable.
We make a list.
But not for that reason.
Will you make an approved list of reasons to not like you?
I can do that. Can you make the same list, please?
Oh, Ethan's got the list in his hand. He's been waiting for this moment. Dear diary. No, I give you a ton of reasons not to like me. I'm super unlikable.
Okay.
Ethan, go ahead.
I would like to speak to our comments about Ryan's height.
You've been recognized.
So I saw a tweet this morning that made me think of Ryan. It said, "Yo, by the way, if you're under 5'7", I have important info for you in the replies."
Ooh, listen up, Ryan.
I'm not.
So I clicked on it, and it said, "I saw a hawk outside, so be careful."
That's a good joke. I saw an eagle carrying a deer online the other day, and I thought, man, if this was real life. Because I think it was a real video.
Are we just talking about birds now?
I think you're a little bit pressed.
You have to explain it explain him the joke in the break.
There's no joke. I just
was a joke.
Eagle carrying a deer, and I thought it was cool.
You just changed the subject pretty quickly there.
What do you guys think about deer?
Birds.
Everyone's kind of like,
it's like telephone.
Fine. If you don't want to talk about deer, let's talk about eagles. America? You guys like patriotism?
Kill a segment
Patriots.
Quicker.
The YouTube live chat poll is, should the Trump administration spend time and resources uncovering the truth about the Joe Biden presidency? Yes or no? I know that I want the truth. Do you want them to be investing the time and resources necessary to get to the bottom of it? That's the YouTube live chat poll for today. We haven't talked about it nearly as much. We are giving tickets to Littleburg Town in the 2 o'clock hour.
Bleep Town.
Yeah, you'll just have to guess.
Just show up and you're going to hear songs from town.
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah. On the pontoon.
About pontoon boats.
Yes. Pontoon boat sounds fun right now. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. Find the live chat portion of the live broadcast and vote. We'll be right back. I can't get enough of the meltdown from the Biden administration. Can't get enough of it.
What are they doing now?
There's just always a detail here and there. And it bothers me, even though we said when the Biden administration was actually happening, how many times did I say people are going to write a book? And the first person to write a book is going to make a lot of money on kicking the door open as to what was really happening. And I want to know it all. I don't know that I'm going to buy these people's books, but I'm going to read every article that's written on it from people who have read those books. But just the absolute ineptitude of Joe Biden, the lack of mental presence. Like his faculties were not there. That's not a surprise.
Well, it's a surprise to everybody in the mainstream media. They couldn't believe it.
That's not true anymore. Well, I mean, then, yes, you're right. But like now, they're all like, we did not report on that. And it's like, the heck you didn't.
Gosh, thank God they're on TV. You have a visual timeline record of them not reporting on it.
Where's that Kamala article that I had pulled up here? I've got too many tabs open. Harris launched dark arts operation against opponents for VP spot in 2020, new book claims. So, like, one book is spawning other books about how nasty everything was with the Democrats. You know, the kumbaya come together, folks.
Tolerance.
Fox News reports former Vice President Kamala Harris engaged in a, quote, dark arts operation. End quote. I don't know what that means. To undercut other potential running mates for former President Joe Biden in the 2020 election, according to a new book. The book is called Fight, Inside the Wildest Battle for the White House, published April 1st by William Morrow and Company, and claims that Harris spread unfavorable information about other possible vice presidential picks for Biden. Quote, in 2020, when she beat out a crowded field to join Biden's ticket, Harris advisors ran a dark arts operation to undermine the competition, circling negative information on arrivals. This is according to journalist Jonathan Allen of NBC News and Amy Parnes of The Hill. Specifically, the book singled out Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. She's doing great. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice. Former Democratic Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. One advisor said of the effort 4 years earlier, quote, we stabbed Karen Bass a little bit. We stabbed Susan Rice a little bit. We stabbed Stacey Abrams a little bit. We stabbed Gretchen Whitmer. And then it doesn't say a little bit. Okay.
It makes me feel bad for those people. Thank God that Stacey Abrams ended up okay.
Girl-on-girl political warfare. That's not very feminist.
That is a lot of girls, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just have a hard time believing that politics could be that dirty, especially from somebody like Kamala Harris.
Especially from women.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Talk about that.
Man, I would.
You know, women. Just go on. Explain.
Women are nasty. When it comes right down to it, the fighting that a man and a man do against each other in the courtyard usually is just like a bunch of Notre Dame-style blows. But women will pull hair. And so now you understand my position.
I don't. I mean, of course they did. This nasty, it's all nasty. I think it's interesting that there are people who are writing a book on this girl-on-girl Democrat political warfare to sell books, but also at the same time, Kamala Harris advisors being like, oh, she was terrible to them.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. We forget how bad the advisors hate. And, like, their staff would just keep quitting.
Lots of turnover.
What is likable about her? She still polls pretty high.
She's number one as far as who would be your choice for candidate in 2028 on Democrats.
If you had two choices, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Well, no, she's actually among the whole field. Mm-hmm. She's number one right now by a landslide.
Bass endorsed Harris and both Whitmer and Abrams appeared at Harris campaign events in 2024. Additionally, Rice also defended Harris in July after Representative Tim Burchett of, is that how you say it, in Tennessee, described Harris as a, quote, DEI hire. Rice described the comment as, quote, incredibly insulting, end quote, in an interview with CNN. Speaking of Jasmine Crockett, did you hear her defend herself? She was telling a story about why she should get hired at this law firm, and someone's like, why should I hire you? And her response was, because I'm black.
No, I haven't heard that.
Gotta find that sound.
Is that new
Have
sound?
You pulled that sound? Have we had that sound?
I might have.
I mean, that's like a week or two old.
Oh, so it's fairly
it could be
new,
even,
though.
It could be older than that.
It's not
that.
Like something they dug up on her a long time ago.
No. It's just like, I want to say that.
Yikes, man. Yeah, don't do that.
Did you just misgender me?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Brad.
Oh.
Yikes, woman.
Obviously, I should have known. I don't know
now
why.
You know I was
yeah.
talking to you.
It was just you were looking straight at me, so. Should the Trump administration spend time and resources, which is the key here, uncovering the truth about the Joe Biden presidency, yes or no? Is it an issue of national security to know what was going on during the Biden administration, who was going on during the Biden administration? I'm an emphatic yes on this one.
I'm an unfortunately yes on this one. I would rather them not, but they need to. There's so many things that they need to be focusing on that I would rather them not have to look at this, but they really should, because there was just so much scandal. And really, take politics out of it. Take which side, blue, red, out of it. There's just so much evidence that this guy was not running anything that you've got mm-hmm. to look in to find out what was he aware of. What did he actually sign?
Here's the question that I have. This is why I think it deserves time and resources. It's not so much Joe Biden. That guy, clearly, done. Who did it?
Yeah.
Who propped it up? Who's still in the system or potentially could go back to be in the system? Who's going to run again? Who actually ran the country for 2, 3, 4 years and did it from behind the scenes? Who knows the secrets of what took place in the Biden administration and has kept them from the American people? Who was complicit? Who participated? They should never, ever, ever be allowed near government authority of any kind again.
And what did the family do? How did they benefit? How did they sell out? You know, what's the deal with the 20 companies that did nothing that you moved money around through? You have to look into that stuff.
Well, and that's even like a separate issue that I agree with. You need to find out, because that stuff preceded
yeah.
his presidency. But I would not be surprised if the people who propped up Joe Biden, like Weekend at Bernie's, for 4 years in the White House, might have known a little something about the 20 companies that you're talking about that preceded his presidency. Expose all of it now, please. Go vote in the YouTube poll and tell us what you think. Do you want time and resources spent to uncover the truth? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.